right, welcome to Three and Out with Jason and Kevin. I am Jason, that's Kevin. We are brought to you by CincyJungle.com, SB Nation, Cincinnati Bengals website, and sponsored by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care. New intro, we're officially, and we've kind of been in season two. The first episode ever of the show was the week after the Super Bowl. Not this Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl previous. So season two officially now, we can say season two of Three and Out. I've had a lot of fun. We've learned a lot. The show's changed a lot. We kind of came in with this formula of we're going to have like three talking points and we're going to stick to this three and out thing. And I don't think we've done that.
No, we did that for like 4 or 5 weeks and that was,
yeah, then we were done. Yeah. And really it's just been kind of coming on and bullshitting. Really. It was just fun. Yeah. I love it. It's coming on and bullshitting about the Bengals. So, typically we had talked about going into like an off season mode where we were doing bi-weekly, but we decided we had to come back and do a weekly show this week because the Bengals completed the signing of their new right tackle, Trent Brown. They had Mekhi Becton in town, and everyone kind of thought maybe that'll be it. But then it you know, news reports started to come out about how Becton seemed to have he was going to leave Cincinnati without being signed and all this stuff. And then they said, okay, well, we're going to switch our focus to Brown. And I think you and I even were texting earlier in the morning, like, it's going to happen today. Like, it kind of has to happen today, because if they don't get Brown, what else are they going to do, you know?
Yeah, I think Mekhi was not a good fit. I think they pivoted. Yeah. They knew they had some cash available. They decided to make the right move. But we can't do this show because we both graded the Bengals on a negative curve based on the fact they hadn't signed a right tackle yet, or even with the assumption that they were going to sign someone like Mekhi Becton. And I, for one, Jason, I think you'll probably agree, completely revising my current free agency grade. I am at a minus, with the potential to get to an A with a decent depth cornerback signing, but we're at an A minus. I'm not complaining. Trent Brown is everything we could have asked for in a right tackle signing. He opens up the draft entirely. He can flip over to left tackle if necessary if Orlando Brown gets hurt. There's flexibility. It is everything we wanted. Plus, he's a scheme fit 100% for what the Bengals want to do. I'm ecstatic with this signing. I am very happy.
So, and you were down on him. I think you had given him a C+. I think that was your grade last week, is a C+, because they had not addressed nose tackle and they had not addressed right tackle.
They still haven't addressed right tackle, because to me, not addressing right tackle in any way that mattered, Mekhi Becton did not count because we couldn't decide what kind of player he would end up being, was because it closed the draft off to them. It made them required to draft a right tackle in the first, no matter who fell. By signing Trent Brown, we can do whatever the hell we want now.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the nice thing too about Trent Brown is if you looked at the offseason, the roster, or not the roster, but the list of offensive tackles that were available in free agency, the first one that popped out to my mind was when it comes down to right tackle is Trent Brown. Trent Brown is like built to play that position. You know what I mean? First of all, he's huge. I don't know if there's another team in the NFL that has bookend tackles that both stand at 6'8". That's insane. Absolutely insane.
Pound, there's just no way anyone outweighs our tackles. There's just no way.
But he started at right tackle, started his career off at right tackle. And then when he was traded to the Patriots, they put him on left. And it wasn't like he was bad. I mean, he was good. He was fine. But he's always been a better right tackle. He's always been better at right tackle. So the Bengals got him on a one-year deal. Which is great because, you know, he's 30 and he wants to go out and show, hey, look, I can still do this at a high level. And I think he's going to, and maybe get himself paid. But the Bengals, like you said, it opens the possibility that they can do whatever they want in the first with, obviously they're not going to take a quarterback at 18, but anything is on the table. I mean, really anything.
Yes.
I could see corner on the table. I could see wide receiver potentially on the table, depending on what happens with T. Higgins, but
which I think is nothing. We were talking about this before. Spoiler alert, we're going to do a couple mock drafts here after the break. We were going to do a one where we trade T. Neither me nor Jason think it's very likely. So it just seems disingenuous to do that as of right now. So I do not think wide receivers on the table, but nose tackle. I mean, but three tech, cornerback are definitely on the table, as well as tight end if Brock Bowers falls, which I don't think is the wildest thing. 20% chance, maybe 15, but I can see it happening.
A month ago, I would have said 0% chance. 0% chance.
Yeah.
And even after the combine, I would have said 0% chance. But now, I mean, I don't know. I mean, weird things happen. You know, teams reach up and they grab players from need, or teams that you think, oh, that team needs a tight end, but they trade back. I mean, who really knows? I don't know. There's a lot of teams that don't place a ton of positional value on tight end. And not to say that Brock Bauer isn't something special, but he was special in college. And there's a lot of players that are special in college who don't do anything in the NFL. So,
well, rookie contract value has a lot to do with it as well. If you drop a wide receiver in the top 10, even if he's an average wide receiver, you're still paying him. You're still getting a pretty cheap wide receiver. Sure. If you draft a tight end in the top 10 and he's not one of the best tight ends in the league, you're overpaying him. You know what I mean? That's just the nature of those kind of picks. Like, there is an inherent risk, a much bigger risk to drafting a tight end than there is to drafting one of the premier, you know, a tackle, wide receiver, cornerback, even one of the best picks.
Sure. And then on top of that, you have to have, or at least in my opinion, I would think a well-run team would have to have a much more complete roster from top to bottom to really think about taking a tight end in the first round. Because if you need a left tackle and Brock Bowers is there, are you going to take Brock Bowers or are you going to take a left tackle? You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean,
well, that was our exact issue.
Well, exactly.
You know, a middle of the road pick. There's not going to be a lot of those. Ideally, hopefully, there's not going to be a lot of teams in the top 10 or 15 could even really consider taking a tight end.
Right. Which is why.
Which is not to say I think Brock Bowers is going to be there. I don't, but it is a possibility. Yes. Yes. Right.
It's a possibility that I would have said 2 weeks ago or a month ago is not even possible. But I think I could see it happening. Possibility. We'll see. But the big thing is they're not forced to go offensive tackle, because before Brownside signed, that's what they had to do. No matter what, 18 was going to be tackle, whether they got a guy they liked or not. But now they don't have to do that. It could be anything. So it's been a great offseason. It really has. It's been a really good offseason. I'm super excited about what we've done in free agency. I'm excited about the draft coming up. I don't see any more big splash signings.
No.
Outside of possibly Tart at nose tackle, but I don't even see that happening anymore. I think
that's not a splash signing. The Bengals fans just convinced themselves, because we've seen a nose tackle play such a prominent role in our defense for so long that we've convinced ourselves a nose tackle is a absolute necessity to have a good defense. It isn't. I expect they're going to sign somebody, some kind of big body defensive player. I also expect they'll probably be somebody you've never heard of.
Probably. But I think everything they do now will be just depth. At corner, depth, you know, bring camp bodies in, whatever. But I'm very happy with what they've done. I think that when I think of the AFC North, I think that they are the team that has improved the most.
Yeah.
In the division.
And we can get into it in a different episode if you want, but the Ravens kind of shit the bed, huh?
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. They lost
Look, don't get me wrong, he's Derrick Henry, but he's an aging running back. Cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that sounds like a bigger splash than it actually is going to end up being.
An aging running back while we purge our entire defense. Everybody on our defense, fire sale. Go.
Yeah. So,
all right. Anything else on the free agency signing at Trent Brown?
I did want your take. Did you watch his interview at all, his signing interview, his press conference?
I did a little bit, yes.
Because he is... Maybe this is me just putting rose-colored glasses on. He's got a bit of a reputation, a bit of a mercenary personality, people say. He's locker room cancer, I've heard people say. I didn't get any of that. It really felt like him and the Patriots didn't get along, period. The Patriots kind of have a reputation for treating players like a number as opposed to people. And I think maybe this is just me projecting. He's a Bengal now, so I'm going to have his back till I know otherwise. But it felt very much like he just didn't mesh with that way. And the Bengals front office is almost a polar opposite. So I have, I don't know, high hopes as far as his ability to mesh with this locker room is concerned.
I think that the Patriot way which is really the Bill Belichick method of coaching. Sure. I think, you know, Bill Belichick is a disciple of just totally blanked on the name now. New York Giants head coach. Long time ago. Whatever. Totally blanked. Bill Parcells. Anyway. But he's kind of got that total control. I'm in charge. Everything goes through me. And he's not, doesn't seem to be a player's coach. You know what I mean? An open door kind of guy. You know what I mean? And that's what Zach Taylor is for sure. And I think that's the majority of the NFL now is kind of have to be that way. You know what I mean? So
yes.
I think a lot of what the head coach's job is more so than game planning, which obviously it is. And that's a big part. But I think a huge part of a head coach's job is just managing personalities, just getting everyone to work together to go in one direction, because you got so many different types of people and everything like that. But I think going from that strict Bill Belichick Patriot way to coming here where it's a little bit more open, you know, the locker room seems to be good already. We don't know what the situation was up there. I didn't get anything from that at all from him. And in fact, they even said like, hey, how do you feel about the fact that your team may draft an offensive tackle in the first round? What do you think about that? And he's like, yeah, like whatever. I'm here. I'm here to help whatever, you know, I mean, I dig it. I dig it. I love it. Yep. So,
all right. Yeah, that's what you take.
All right, we're going to go to break. We'll be back. We'll do a couple mock drafts. All right.
Sounds good.
Eastgate Smiles Dental Care is a warm and welcoming environment where expertise and customer service come together. As a local business, they love helping their fellow Cincinnatians manage their oral health and achieve a perfect smile. They pair the latest technology with years of experience to give you a smile worth showing off. They are dedicated to quality and convenience and can even perform dental crown procedures the same day in most cases. You like your smile, but they are here to help you love it. They personalize your care and match your needs. Call them today at 513-528-1150 to learn what they can do for your pearly whites.
All right, so we're going to do a couple PFF mock drafts here. Like we said, we are not going to do anything when it comes to trading T. Higgins. I don't think there's any point of really doing that anymore. No,
but we have bumped the randomness up a little bit. Draft days really do tend to be a little more random than we project. And around this time, I feel like these mock draft simulators become pretty predictable. Not to mention, we're kind of exploring the options that are available to us.
Yeah.
Now we have a Trent Brown on the team. So we're bumping the randomness up a little bit. I'd bump it even just a touch more, Jason. You want to do five rounds? All right, we'll do five rounds as well.
Let's do five rounds. We'll do fast. And then I have it right in the middle for positional value and draft for need. I feel like we just keep those there. All right?
Yep.
All right. Enter the draft, and let's get this thing rolling. Again, we're not focusing at all on trading T. Higgins. We're just going to go through the draft. With T. Higgins on the team.
There goes Powers. There goes Hall. Oh, see, these are the kind of situations that we're talking about. Byron Murphy.
I just want to say this.
Ranked 9 by PFF is still available.
I know. I just want to say this. If the draft happens like this, we will win the Super Bowl. Because you have here, I'm just saying, at 18, you can take Murphy, who should not be here. You could take Wiggins, which would make sense as a pick.
Who should not be here?
Bashanu, who makes sense as a pick, or you could take Latham. The top four guys. And look, Mims is right here, too. This is like just best case. But to me, Murphy is the answer.
It is. Absolutely. In this scenario, I'm going to Murphy. Yeah. If he falls that far, we're taking him. We're running and we're not looking back.
Yep. All right. So on to the second round here.
And now, again, this is only possible with a pick. With a free agency pickup like
Brown. Exactly. All right. So, see, to me, I'm looking right here.
Oh, you want Ennis Rakestraw, the cornerback, huh?
Yep.
At this point, do you feel like now's the time to try to pick up a tackle? We'd have to reach a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who's going to be available in the third round, but I'm also looking here. I mean, down here, I feel like that's a little bit of a reach.
Well, how do you pronounce his name? I'm a fan of his, but I've never been able to pronounce his name. I've been looking at tape and stuff. Emigaji?
Yeah. Sure.
Kieran Emigaji? I'm probably butchering that. But I think he's a good second round pickup. Okay. We could also go Jonathan Brooks, halfback. We could also go back-to-back defensive interior. Jason, where do you want to go with this? I'll let you pick this one.
Let's go with the tackle. Just
it's,
to
it's
say,
a bit of a reach if you will. Okay.
No, yeah, no. Let's. You're right. Listen, I'm
let's see what happens. Let's go cornerback. You want to Greg Straw? Right.
Yeah.
So let's check Greg Straw out.
All right. So now we have two picks in the third.
But now I'd say we need a tackle. That's what we need. We need a tackle right now because having a guy to develop would be absolutely great. Let's see what comes up.
Let's see. Patrick Paul.
Patrick Paul, I'm not confident he manages to be a starter in 2 years, but I can see it in three, and it's worth at least a gamble as far as I'm concerned.
There's Dominic Pooney. I don't know much about him. That's where I'm leaning here is Patrick Paul in the third.
Yeah, it's a bit of a reach, but I'm less concerned with the reach in the third, especially because we got our premier picks in one and two. I'm okay with Patrick Paul.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Yeah, he's definitely a developmental guy. Yeah, but I can see him ready to start year two. Yeah. I could.
All right, and then this is our compensatory pick in the third round. You got a corner there. Here's another tackle. Pooney's still available. Another corner, some safety help. Ray Davis, running back at this point.
Sure. I also can see Eric All. Eric All is I know the Bengals have a lot of interest in him.
Yeah. There's Bo Limmer. You could look at center at this point. I mean, there's starting centers, you know, longtime starting centers all the time go third, fourth, fifth round. And, you know, Ted Karras is going to be a free agent after this year. So
I want to see the tight ends. Narrow it down to the tight ends. Let's see who's coming up. He's been taken so far.
All right, Eric All, Cade Stover, who I like
quite a few that I'd be happy with. Eric All, Ben Sennett, I like Jaheim Bell quite a bit. They're all going to be available later. So if you want to punt on tight end, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Okay, yeah, I'm good. Based on who was left there, I'm good on passing tight end. Okay. I don't know. What do you think?
If you were like, Ray Davis, I think is a good pick.
Yeah, scroll down just a little bit.
Right there, Michael Hall Jr. I'm also a big fan of his for a mid-round defensive pick.
Let's go trenches. Let's go trenches.
You want to go trenches? Yes. Let's trenches, buddy.
Let's go trenches.
Michael Hall
Jr. That's how you build a championship team. That's how you build a championship team.
Completely agree with that.
All right. Fourth round now. So, you know what? Let's narrow this back down and look at our tight end.
Leonard Taylor. There's another defensive interior guy that I am a fan of.
So in the fourth round, the only tight end that we're looking at that was still available was Sennett.
Okay.
I don't know how far down he is on the list.
He's almost at like in the 140s, and we're currently picking at 115.
Right.
I actually think he probably would be gone by now if I had to guess, but he's a tight end, so he could fall. I don't consider it much of a reach, even if PFF does, to grab Sennett here.
I would like to because
I think this is kind of where you gotta pick. Yeah.
Right. So here he is right here. I'm sure we won't be getting a great grade for that one. All right.
Well, that's fine. I don't care about the PFF grades. They're kind of weird.
Yeah. All right. On to the fifth round.
And our final pick. Roger Rosengarten, if we wanted to grab another tackle, I like him a lot. We could double up on tight end. Theo Johnson. We got any running backs or?
Let's see. Running back, why? No, we have Tyler Davis. By the way, and I know this is totally off topic, but were you not shocked that the Bengals were able to re-sign ADG to backup linebacker? I thought for sure he would be gone. For sure.
Yeah.
But they still haven't signed Marcus Bailey. They still haven't re-signed Joe Bocci. And if they're not going to, I mean, this is the period of time where you're looking at a backup linebacker that does some special teams work. So you got Michael Barrett here, guys like that. I mean, these are special teams roles in these depth position players. Usually, sometimes you find, I mean, hell, Geno Atkins was a fourth round pick.
But that's not a thing anymore.
Well, no. But yeah, you can, there's Drake Nugent here at center.
Let me look at running backs just to see, narrow it down to running backs to see who we got left on the board, if anybody. And, absolutely nobody. is nobody I'm overly interested in. Yeah, if you wanted to grab a linebacker that you're interested in, that's fine by me. Running back would be the only thing I'd be kind of looking at in this kind of range. Yeah, and there's just nobody here that I overly like.
All right, we'll take Michael Barrett and round this out. And there we go. Maybe. All right. So, yeah, obviously Byron Murphy is going to be an A-plus because there's I don't see a way where he's at 18. So
I absolutely do. Some people might value Newton over him.
Well, yeah.
He didn't have the production that Newton had, as well as multiple quarterbacks. You can have five quarterbacks go off the board before they get to us, as well as multiple wide receivers. I'm not saying it's likely, but I don't think it's I would not be overly shocked. I really could see this draft going a lot of crazy ways. Just with the above average but not incredible quarterback talent, I feel like we're going to see a lot of teams fall in love with a lot of different quarterbacks. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the top four quarterbacks are at least some team's number one pick. You know what I mean?
I totally agree with that. And here's the first round. Caleb Williams, number one. Let's see what some other teams in the division did here. We got Byron Murphy. Steelers took J.J. McCarthy. I don't see that happening just because they got two quarterbacks already now. Let's see.
But Ravens, two quarterbacks Kool-Aid, I don't think they're overly confident in, but...
True. What did the Browns do?
Yeah, I also think the Vikings are very likely to try to trade up in this scenario. They waited until Jalen Daniels was available at 23. I honestly, God, don't think that happens. I think they try to trade up at least into the top 15. They are accumulating draft picks for a reason, and I think they've pretty well shown their hand that they are at least going to make an attempt.
Yep. All right, you want to do one more? Bump up the randomness.
Let's do one more.
All right, let's move it. All right, start it up. Turn up the randomness a little bit for those of you who are just listening. All right, so see, this is still really good for us. All right, so right away, Terry and Arnold is available, Dallas Turner, edge. But the one that really catches my eye, I don't know how you feel about it, is Jackson Powers Johnson right here in the middle. I mean, you're talking about a guy who could. All right. I'm just saying, if you take JPJ here and he starts and Ted Karras moves to left guard, how good's that offensive line? On paper, obviously, but it's really good, right?
Oh, yeah, with Trent Brown on the right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So, I'm 100% in on Jackson Powers Johnson. Signing Trent Brown, you sign Trent Brown so you can take Jackson Powers Johnson if you want to.
Yep.
I was going to kind of lean tackle right here in my own head. Okay. I was just to kind of see how it all played out. Latham is not testing, so he's kind of dropped off my radar a little bit. And Mims to me might be too big a risk if you have a tackle you're comfortable with, at least for this year, and you can develop somebody underneath him. So I'm 100% in on Powers. Because all the rest of the tackles are gone for the audio listeners. All the rest of the big six tackles. We're taking Jackson Powers Johnson.
All right. So at 18... the first center we've taken in the first round since Billy Price. Hopefully it would work better than that one. But we did get probably maybe one of the most one-sided trades in Bengals history. We got BJ Hill out of it. All right.
Sure.
Pick number 49. Yeah, these are quarterbacks. These guys aren't going to be here. Some wide receivers here.
Rowan Wilson. Bo Nix could be,
but I don't see all three of these guys sitting here in the second round.
No, most likely not. But Jonathan Brooks, he's a game changer out the gate. I also really like Rowan Wilson.
Okay, I like Rowan Wilson. Got Jonathan Brooks. Let's see. You also got Chris Jenkins here, and then you also have Rook. Jeez.
Or Rojo.
I have no idea. But that fills a need there, too. I just don't know. I don't know enough about him necessarily. But what way are you leaning here?
I'm leaning Roman Wilson. I think he could take a lot of snaps for the slot. I know. Well, that's what we got. Gesicki four. Because yeah, he's a great. Let's go, Jonathan Brooks. What do you say?
Okay,
you want to get Jonathan Brooks? You want to do something goofy?
Let's do running back. Let's do it.
He's a hell of a running back. Hell of a running back.
All right. On to the third.
Oh, Sweat all just right. went. I was kind of hoping to Sweat in the third.
Yeah, I know. All right. So
okay, regretted a little bit with Jalen Wright. Yeah. Javon Baker, though, I think is going to low-key be a monster.
I could absolutely see that being the case.
Yeah.
You got Blake Fisher here. You got Andrew Phillips from Kentucky here.
Cornerback.
Yeah, Patrick Paul again.
There's Patrick Paul.
Last one.
Now, see, let's see what happens here, because I think Patrick Paul might be the last good developmental tackle on this board. Okay. I also think Devon Baker has the potential to be an incredible player. I would like to pick Javon Baker and see if we end up regretting it. That's the point of these, right? Is to do a little experimentation.
It is. Yeah.
But let's see. Let's see what happens if we end up with no developmental tackle that we're comfortable with at the end.
You're hoping to get Paul here.
I was hoping to get Paul, but it is what it is. Yeah. We might just be punting. It is what it is. I don't love it.
Yeah.
But decisions have been made. So where are you looking at here?
Here, you know, I
Christian Montgomery, going great guard.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
Going guard.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but it's both Alex Kappa and Ted Karras are going to be free agents after this year, correct?
Yes.
Both of them are.
And if you scroll down just a little bit, we also have Eric Hall and Michael Hall Jr. Two targets, I think, the Bengals would be interested in. Eric Hall at tight end and Michael Hall Jr. at defensive interior. Just pointing those out.
Yeah.
I'm the one who swung for a wide receiver that I have a crush on and might have screwed us. If your argument is now, hey, we may end up having to pay a tackle again and we need to get cheaper at guard, I could absolutely get behind that with Christian Montgomery. I think he is a developmental piece that could turn into something real.
Yeah, I think that would be a good thing to have an extra guard that has a year in the system and not bringing some rookie in next year. Let's load up on both sides of the ball. I'm just no brainer for me right here. Michael Hall Jr. He's still
Michael
here.
Hall. He's 100%. Still there. We take him.
Yep. And then is that the fourth? Yep. All right.
We're heading into the fifth. We're about there. 149.
And I'll be honest, the two that Elijah Jones, I don't know if we've really done anything at cornerback yet. I don't think, right?
We have not. And a backup spot, basically, isn't the worst idea.
But you know what? We got McKinley Jackson here, Mekhi Wingo, Theo Johnson, tight end out of Penn State, Tyler Davis. I'll tell you another thing, though, is we talked about a backup guy, but last year in the seventh round, they ended up getting who was our seventh round out of Miami, the cornerback out of Miami?
Ivy?
DJ Ivy, you know, and he played well. Yeah. He played really well through camp. He played well when he got a shot. Well, right, but he played well when he got a shot. So you never knew who you're getting when you're taking one of these guys. I say cornerback, Elijah Jones. What do you think?
Let's go cornerback.
All right. And that'll bring us to the end of this one. I can't wait for the draft. I cannot wait.
Trent Brown really changed my whole attitude as far as this is concerned. It opened everything up and made it so much fun. This is where PFF's grades don't make sense.
Yeah.
They have Jason's reacting for those at home. They have the Jackson Powers Johnson graded as a D-plus grade. They put too much positional value on these things. PSF's own big board has him at 19, and picking him at 18 ends up with a D-plus. It just doesn't work. Here's what I really like about this draft is I feel like immediately loads us up for a Super Bowl. I feel like Jackson Powers Johnson is instantly a contributor. Jonathan Brooks, instantly a contributor. Javon Baker, I actually feel, could very quickly become a contributor. I have a very good feeling about him.
Yeah.
And I like Michael Hall Jr. a lot for the future, as well as Christian Montgomery. We are counting on Trent Brown to remain healthy for the entire season, yes. Something he's only managed for 3 seasons.
Right.
That worries me quite a bit.
With this draft, yes, that's something that worries me, is the fact that we never really landed. Yes. We took some, like this Javon Baker, you know, we took a couple swings here that didn't work out. But as you mentioned before, the reason that we can take those swings is because we signed Trent Brown in free agency to begin with. So, yeah, it's been without doing that, it just takes JPJ off the board in the first. It takes, you know, there's just, you can't do anything. There's no creativity. There's no, look what we can do with this guy. And then you never really know, you know, they talked about how they didn't know that Miles Murphy was going to be there available when they went on the clock at 28.
Is that right? I figured 28? He would be.
And you know, we thought they'd take tight end and they didn't. We never know what's going to happen. You know, who's going to be available at 18. So it could be Bowers, could be someone else. A lot of fun. Good stuff coming up. All right. You got anything else, man?
Nope. That is it, except that I am now convinced if we don't grab a tackle in the first 3 rounds, we might be screwed. I kind of figured it was going to go that way, and I've done some mock drafts myself, as well as I think everybody who's listening has probably done dozens. But this just kind of confirms it, and I just wanted to put it into an episode. Round 3 is our last chance to grab even a developmental tackle.
I agree with that.
I kind of feel like we have to do that, but we could absolutely punt in the first, and that opens things up quite a bit for him.
I do think if I had to make an educated guess, I would say that the most likely thing to happen at 18 is offensive tackle, just the way that the draft class is, you know? Yes. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't feel like it's a wasted pick at all. I mean, you're filling a need immediately that's going to have to be filled. And like you said, Trent Brown doesn't have the greatest track record of durability. And someone that's 6'8 and 350 pounds probably shouldn't. If he was durable, it's, you know, something's wrong.
And you can take a lot of those players look like they could be very good at guard. You grab the right player, you put him in at guard, you then have Karras, Kappa, the Browns, the Browntons. I've heard a lot of people referring to them as that, and I like it. And then whoever you draft as your fifth lineman, that's an incredible line. And then if somebody gets hurt, there's a lot of ability to shuffle around those players if necessary.
There are.
So going off with the tackle in the first is absolutely still a great idea and maybe the best pick we can make. It's just important that it's not us being forced into it. That's what it is.
Right. That's the big issue, is having to the situation where, hey, it's a really good quarter or a really good offensive tackle draft class, and that's good for us because we have to do that. That's, no one wants to be in that situation. And this is what they used to do. They used
what if to there's a run? What if seven? What if seven tackles go off in the first round? It's not crazy to think that. I'm not saying it's likely, but it's not crazy. And now we're grabbing a mid-second rounder to late second round pick because there was a weird run on tackles right before they got to us. People panicked. We've seen it over and over again.
Yep.
And we're stuck. Nope. Now we have grabbed hold of our own destiny again as a team, and first round's back open. It's great.
First round's wide open. It's fun. I'm excited. The Bengals are doing everything they got to do. They're making all the right moves, making all the right decisions. There's really nothing that I can look at them and complain about right now. There's nothing. You know, they've taken a guy that I wanted at every position pretty much, or taken a top 2 or 3 guy that's available at every position, with an exception maybe of nose tackle, but we'll get to that later. All right. That's pretty much it for us. Thank you again for watching. We are brought to you by Eastgate Smiles Dental Care, sponsored by CincyJungle.com, which is SB Nation's Cincinnati Bagel site. We're an Orange and Black Insider. Check us out there. It's not just us. It's OBI. It's Chalk Talk. It's Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. There's great Bengals content on there every day. And thanks again. Hooday.
Hooday.